Welcome back to the Aviation Journalist Roundtable. I'm Afterburner Al. As a quick aside, Steve, if you're out there, I'll be out with your camping pass shortly. I'm joined by Tom Haynes, editor of AOPA Pilot, and Mac McClellan, editor of Flying Magazine. We're in the last part of our show today. And one thing I was, this is one of my ideas, we'll see how well this works. This is one of my ideas I had at flight level 400 one time as I'm trying to watch the mileage tick down to the next destination. But I had a discussion with the fellow I was flying with that day about what would things look like if we had user fees? And would general aviation make a precipitous decline? Would it just fade away? Kind of curious as to what kind of doomsday scenarios we could come up with. Any ideas?
I think it would be a very fast decline for general aviation. I mean, we had people calling AOPA last year when the possibility of user fee was even more extreme than it is right now, where it's, you know, things are a little quiet right now. But when it was really heated up, there we had people calling and saying getting information about how to put their airplanes on the market because they wanted to sell and get out of the market before the user fees got put in place, because they were convinced that general aviation would go away. And I think if a lot of people would take that tactic if it actually became obvious that user fees were going to be implemented. So I think it would be really disastrous for general aviation, and I think it'd look a lot like Europe when it was all said and done.
And nobody really has had the experience, at least the layperson who only has the occasional exposure at, say, a convention/air show like this, or getting on a flight to wherever they're going. They don't have the experience of something that they love being curtailed, at least in the way in Europe it is. It's not that they're being mean about it, but there's a lot of rules about you just can't jump in your airplane and go somewhere. There's paperwork.
Yeah, certainly just user fees alone wouldn't make us like Europe, where they have all of the restrictions and, yeah, much of it from very small countries that were for centuries were unique and now trying to band together. And it's easy to see that if you flew from New Jersey across that little bit of New York into Connecticut, you'd cross three countries. It would be very complicated, but that's the reality of Europe. But the cost of a user fee would just be one more impediment. We all know that there's been no growth in general aviation in probably 25 years. I think we reached the peak in 1984 of the number of active pilots, and an active pilot is defined as one with a medical less than 2 years old, and that was somewhere around 860,000. We're now below 600,000. So I think anything that adds additional cost and complexity would continue the decline, or actually accelerate the decline. And the other issue for most of us is the money is, yes, that's important, but the frustration of setting up an entire bureaucracy to mm-hmm. collect this on the complexity scale of something like the income tax would be so irritating that so little of the money would actually be going to support the aviation infrastructure because of this bureaucracy soaking it all up. I think it would drive us, most of us, over the edge.
And that's a point that's been missed, I think, by a lot of people with the airline traffic being down throughout the world as a result of the economic situation. In Europe, as a result of that, where the whole thing is funded by user fees, they are now really struggling to come up with enough revenue to run the system, where if they had been using something like a user fee and a reasonable general fund contribution like we have in this country at this point, at least, although that's threatened, they'd have a much more stable funding structure, which is what the FAA has been saying that they want all along, and that their belief is that user fees is a way to get that. And we've all looked around now what's happening in the economy and saying, you know, the stable funding is what we have, which is a general fund contribution of somewhere around 25% and taxes in the form of fuel taxes and, in the case of the airlines, for passenger facility charges and those sorts of taxes. So it all works pretty well right now and is reasonably efficient. So the idea of introducing a huge bureaucracy to collect basically the same amount of money just makes no sense.
Would the is there just a kind of a a disconnect as far as understanding who is actually flying, and that they think that there's more money there to be collected from people who fly than usual?
Well, that's a lot about what we've been talking about AOPA and around our General Aviation Serves America campaign is really designed to educate influencers and opinion leaders around the country about what it is that general aviation does, the belief being that when members of Congress and the FAA and other influencers don't understand what it is that general aviation is, it's easy to tax them or not understand the impact that a proposed tax or other regulation might have on this group. So our objective with the GA Serves America campaign is to help educate those influencers around the country at all levels of government and industry and get them to have a good understanding of general aviation and therefore understand better the impact of some of the decisions that they make.
The small airports, that particular aspect, and that is really doesn't have anything to do with user fees, but just the encroachment of population around well-established airports is also another pressure on general aviation and how it's trying to survive, not only from the aspect of user fees or some additional way to fund airports, but also just the encroachment of municipalities nearby wearing out the few that are left that like to enjoy a small airport.
Well, airports and affluent populations don't coexist very well. So we have thousands of wonderful GA airports around the country, greatly underutilized. But there's a small number, relatively small number compared to the total, that are under this pressure because people have moved into a long time existing airport and then started campaigns to get it closed down. So we just have this disconnect where people are, airports aren't, and where there are no people and nobody wants to fly there necessarily, their airports are plentiful. So it's a difficult problem.
It's all about local land use policy and zoning issues, and we have a whole staff of people at AOPA who work on these issues every day trying to go out and get local communities to understand the impact, the economic impact of their airport and why it's important to protect the areas around the airport and use them for appropriately, not for housing and schools and hospitals, but you know maybe industrial complexes and that sort of thing are fine in the neighborhood of airports. But mostly if you can get the community to understand why general aviation is important and why that airport needs to be there, you can get local support and then you can many of those issues go away.
And let's look at it the other way, and that is if let's say that we continue with the funding mostly through fuel taxes and some of the funding streams we have now and maybe some other funding streams that would be agreeable to for the most part, general aviation, how much growth would you expect in this particular area or would be somewhat static, and is that okay?
I think at this point, our first emphasis needs to be to stop the decline in the number of participants, and that is takes bringing young people in. I mean, we don't need 18-year-olds entirely. Maybe we replace an 80-year-old with a 50-year-old, but it's a necessary replacement process as the people who have been the most active in general aviation or all of aviation for decades are timing out, and someone needs to be there to pick up the activity as they retire.
It's a critical part of what we should all be working on is getting more people involved in general aviation. One way, again, to get back to what we were talking about before, is a way to educate them about the value of it. Some of them will then recognize that's appealing to them and start to participate. EA Young Eagles, of course, a great example of exposing young people to it. We've got a couple of programs, Let's Go Flying, which is designed to provide good resources to people who have expressed an interest in aviation or somehow in the back of their mind have always thought they might be interested from that site and materials we can provide for them. It helps educate them about what's in store for them through the flight training process. So there are opportunities out there, but at the end of the day, there's no better way to get people involved in aviation than all of us who are pilots exposing them on a nice, calm summer evening, taking them up for a flight and showing them what general aviation is all about, maybe taking them on a short cross country to show them how efficient general aviation transportation can be and what fun it can be. And if we all do that, all do our part, we can at least stem the decline of general aviation.
I'd like to thank both of you gentlemen for joining me.